Welcome to God's Work in Progress. God cares about your job because He has created you to work, and He's asking you to work with Him in transforming the world. We want to help you bring the reality of Jesus in every way to the so-called real world, the place where you spend about 60% of your awake time every week. Your host, Jeff Pelletier, has business experience in business operations and people development. He adds to this his 10 years as an organizational consultant. Along with his business background, Jeff holds a seminary degree in Christian theology. Jeff's passion and the purpose of this program is to help do great work with great faith. Now, here's Jeff.
Meaningful capitalism. Some people have a distorted view of capitalism. They have come to see it as evil. I want to read an excerpt from Deuteronomy chapter 8 to you about what God says about wealth and its production. In it, you'll learn what God thinks about wealth and its attainment. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then that in your heart, as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out of the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, you will build fine houses and settle down. And when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So capitalism, which is the production of wealth, is good. But what we do with that wealth is God's primary concern, because wealth is stored power, and what we do with power matters a great deal to God. You know, God's work is your work. The will of God requires the people of God. That's you and me. And God is moving in the marketplace, in the everyday life of people, in their everyday jobs, seeking to save and redeem the broken, fallen, corrupt world. God has been marginalized, pushed aside in the marketplace. He is being made irrelevant, and he is pushing back. God goes where he's not, and he's not in business. He's not in our government, and he's not in our school systems. It is a fact that God is being pushed aside. But the will of God requires the people of God. That's how he set it up. The church is his people. You and I and all Christians are being called to push back. He wants us to do great work with great faith, to stand for what's right, to live it and be light and salt. When you support God's Work in Progress with a tax-deductible donation of $10, $20, or $50, you empower us to get the church engaged in this work of God. Won't you go to our website right now, godsworkinprogress.org, and give. Thank you. Our guest for this edition of God's Work in Progress is Dean Batchelor. Dean is the chairman of the Platinum Group. Their mission is simply meaningful capitalism, and will be the subject of our second segment, so stay tuned for that. Dean is a consummate turnaround artist, something we'll also be talking about in the second segment. And you can learn more about Platinum Group by going to our website and clicking on the red radio show button. So please welcome to God's Work in Progress, Dean Batchelor. Dean, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff.
So Dean, in our opening segment, I want to spend some time talking about you and your faith journey. And in the next segment, we'll talk about meaningful capitalism. So when did God become more than just a word to you?
That's a good question. I grew up as a farm kid out in the country. Actually went to one-room schoolhouse until I was in eighth grade. And our family went to church at the local Methodist church down the street, maybe a couple miles out there in the country. But I had never really personalized my faith until 1974. And that was 40 years ago when I was 25 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
I was working for a publishing company at the time as their sales manager, and I was over my head, and I was frantically trying to figure out how to grow sales, and ended up attending a three-day leadership development program that was aimed at teaching people how to become effective leaders and managers.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that program, we were told that the entire three-day program and what we had been taught had been based on 1 Corinthians 13.
Wow.
The love chapter of the Bible. We had no idea. And I went home after that program. I was fairly highly stressed at the ripe old age of 25. I was married, had a young family, two kids. I was out traveling a lot and away from my wife and kids and working very, very hard, trying to make ends meet with our family, and fairly highly stressed. And just found myself after that program getting on my knees one morning downstairs in my basement and asking the Lord to come into my heart. And from that day forward, everything clicked. Decision-making was easier. I became a better father, a better husband, a better manager. I made the decision to leave that business and sold the business to one of my top sales guys and ended up teaching that same three-day leadership program for the next 6 years and led the organization that had published that material and ended up growing it into a very sizable training organization. We were putting more than 100,000 people through leadership training a year when I left.
I think it's really powerful for me, Dean, to listen to the idea that you were not doing well, you were struggling to do the job that you were doing, and you went to this conference. And this is just another example of how God's, coincidences work, right? You're at that point of need that we all get to at some point, and God showed up exactly at the right time to give you exactly what you needed. So who has been most impactful in your personal faith development in your life?
I would say that my pastor in our local church in Burnsville for 33 years, Ross Foley, had an enormous impact on my life over the years. Our entire family, just listening to Ross every Sunday mm-hmm. for 33 years, had a monumental effect on our entire family. He was instrumental in leading my faith, along with my wife of 44 years, mm-hmm. Kathy. She grew up in a Baptist church, never missed a day of Sunday school in 17 years.
Wow.
As a kid growing up. Mm. And so she came from a strong faith in her family, and she really was the example for me and our family of how to walk the faith.
There's two examples there that are really powerful to me. One is that you heard the word from your pastor, but you saw the word in your wife.
Yes.
But you see see a sermon and you hear a sermon and it clicks. So describe a time when your faith was tested.
You know, as a father, as a grandfather of nine now, we have four kids and nine grandkids. There's always little tests that go along the way. But as a businessman,
yes,
I know that tests come along frequently.
Yeah,
I can think of one particular test many years ago. I was called in as the new CEO in a turnaround of a company. It was a $25 million manufacturer of rubber belts. They were located down in Red Wing. And we ended up finding out the very first day I was on the shipping dock, and I found out that it was the end of the month, and they were putting product on a truck to take out to the shipping manager's barn. And I asked them why they were doing that.
Yeah.
Because I'd asked them, I said, where's this shipment going? Mm-hmm. He said, well, it's going out to my barn. It's the last day of the month. And I looked at him and I said, why is it going out to your barn? And he said, well, it's the last day of the month.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
What I've been told is we need to reach certain shipments every month or we run into problems with our bank. And so if we're short our projection, then I load up that many dollars of inventory and I take it out to my barn. And we leave it there for a few days and then I bring it back afterwards the following month.
Wow.
You know, and that was one of those situations where if you tell the truth, you're liable to actually create a problem for yourself.
Yes.
Because the bank assumed that we were meeting projections.
Mm-hmm.
The bank assumed that we were shipping out a certain amount of product. But I knew it was the wrong thing to do. So we called an all-employee meeting. It was my first all-employee meeting as CEO of the company. And we talked about doing the right thing. And we talked about the fact that we're not going to put product on a truck and ship it out to someone's barn anymore at the end of the month. That we'll sit down, we'll tell the truth to the bank, and we'll sit down and talk to them about why we missed projections and what we've got to do to make sure that we try to meet projections the next month. But we're not going to try to fool anybody or pull the wool over anybody's eyes. And out of that came a core value within Platinum Group, our consulting firm. And that core value is do the right thing.
Can you tell me how that impacted the employees of that company? What kind of comments did you get from people?
Got a lot of comments. Mm-hmm. People people came up and said it's about time someone stood up and told it like it is. Really appreciate the honesty. There were a lot of comments.
I bet you built a ton of loyalty that day.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Deep down inside, I think people want to do the right thing. I have not met anyone who wakes up in the morning trying to ask themselves, now how can I screw up today? People want to do the right thing, but they need leadership to help them sometimes.
Who's been most influential, Dean, in your life, helping you with your work ethic and your sense of excellence, your sense of doing things well?
I would say my partners. Over the years, we've been in business 32 years, and we've gathered together a group of people with like-minded values who believe in our core values. And they are teaching me lessons every day.
Can you give me an example?
I had a mentor back in the 70s by the name of Bob Conklin. Bob had written several books, and Bob was constantly setting an example of hope, faith, and love, and was a wonderful mentor to me.
Can you give me an example of something he did or said that really impacted you?
Well, when we were faced with a tough decision, Bob would have a way of asking questions. Instead of saying, this is what I want to do, I'm chairman of the board, and this is the way I want to do it, Bob would ask the people around the table questions that would get them to start thinking about what was the right thing to do. And through that process of asking questions and getting answers, those of us around that table would hear each other's answers, and we'd come to the best conclusion. And that was a wonderful leadership approach that I've tried to use to this day.
The thing that's in my mind about this, and it goes back to what you said about your wife as well, and about how people grow and develop in their lives, oftentimes it's the way other people act, not what they tell us. It's what they actually do that impresses us, and we go, I want to be like that, or I want to do that, I want to do it that way. And,
yes.
And that's been my experience as well. The people in my life that I truly admire and emulate are the people that do it really well, or they live it in a way that I admire, and that makes me want to do it because of their example, and I think that's powerful.
And in our business, we're in the business of helping business owners get through difficult transition in their life and in their work and in their business. And it's an opportunity for us to put an arm around their shoulder and go for a walk. We happen to office out in Eden Prairie. We're overlooking a lake, and there's a patio out back. And more than once, we've taken clients out back. We've sat down, and we've just talked, allowing them to vent their frustrations at what's going on in their business. But being more than a consultant or an advisor, being a friend. Because many of these people do not have anyone to go to really talk over their business problems. And so they come here. And being able to be someone for a person that's going through a very difficult time in their life is a wonderful opportunity to minister to them.
It's absolutely true.
And to be there for them.
Sometimes we don't really realize how impactful we're being sometimes. And we can say things or do things and people are impressed by them. It's just a very important thing to understand the power of just being present in someone's life. So, Dean, this has been a great first segment. We're going to turn now to meaningful capitalism. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that.
Jeff Pelletier will be back in just a moment, but first we want to remind you that we have articles, workplace tips, and much more media posted to our website, godsworkinprogress.org.
Buy It Forward is a new way to give. It is a marketplace answer to funding ministry. Here at God's Work in Progress, we serve the marketplace. We help you do great work with great faith because those two together are the power of the gospel to change the world. Buy It Forward helps God's Work in Progress to grow and serve more people like you. Here's how Buy It Forward works. You have stuff that you thought of selling, stuff that people need. You also listen to our program and have thought about helping God's Work in Progress financially. Well, now you can. Donate it. It sells. You help us. Donate it. It sells. You help us grow. Go to godsworkinprogress.org. Click on the Buy It Forward button at the top right of the page. Click Donate It. It sells. You help us. It's a marketplace answer that helps you help us and help more and more people do great work with great faith. You get a tax deduction, someone gets something they need, and God's Work in Progress grows to reach more and more people because of you. Donate it. It sells. You help us. Buy It Forward. Please go to God's Work in Progress right now. Click on the Buy It Forward button at the top. Thank you. Our guest for this segment of God's Work in Progress is Dean Batchelor. Dean is the chairman of the Platinum Group. The Platinum Group specializes in working with troubled businesses that have potential but are underperforming. So, Dean, you're called a turnaround artist on your website. Talk about what that means to you. What do you mean by turnaround artist?
Well, we obviously have some pretty good copywriters. I didn't write it, but... most of our clients are companies that are going through something that's unusual, unexpected, difficult, or particularly stressful. It can be a bank pulling the line of credit. It can be the loss of an important customer that happened all of a sudden with very little warning. It can be a health problem. It can be a death of a family member. There's a lot of reasons people come to us and seek the help that we provide, but they're going through some kind of a transition that is difficult and challenging, and they're looking for a way out. And so I guess being a turnaround artist is helping people see the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will.
Yeah.
We talk a lot here at Platinum within the group about staying in the center of the storm. In the hurricanes in particular, there's a lot of swirling around.
Right.
But in the middle is an eye, and that eye moves about.
Mm-hmm.
But you can literally walk in an eye of a hurricane, and most hurricanes are moving somewhere between 4 and 8 miles per hour. They're not moving very fast, and you can get in the middle of that eye. You can walk if you're on land, and you can stay in the calm. You can see the mist, but you can look up and see the sun. You can see the blue sky, and I know something about that because I happen to have a place on an island. You can, in the middle of that storm, you can stand in the eye and be perfectly calm. And so part of what goes on here is helping people move to the center of the storm, look around at the swirling stress that's going around them, and try to figure things out from the center of that storm.
So really what you're doing is you're walking with, again, it's what you talked about in the first segment a little bit. You're walking with people through this very difficult time in their business and helping them literally turn it around so that it's back right, the ship is righted and things are moving in a good way. Is that right?
Exactly.
Let's talk about meaningful capitalism. This really intrigues me, Dean. I really love this phrase. What is meaningful capitalism?
Well, it came out of the realization that so many of our clients were coming to us and just saying, thank you for helping us, for doing what you've done and doing it the way you did it. And it provides meaning for all of us, I know, here at Platinum, and certainly many of our clients. Something I wrote many years ago, it was called Meaningful Capitalism. I wrote it just for the folks inside, the employees here at Platinum. But later on, they came to me and said, you know, we really want to have this be our mission statement because it gives us mission, gives us a purpose for what we're doing here. And so it's meaningful because we do care about these people. And it's meaningful because the knowledge and expertise that we've gained over the years can provide help for these people when they're in trouble. It's meaningful because when they do get in trouble, they come to us for that help. And we end up being a friend that they can turn to, who can understand the pain they're feeling, the hopelessness they may not be able to share with other people. And then the trick for us is to empathize, maybe not always sympathize, but to certainly empathize and try to put ourselves in their shoes. We tell clients that it's our job to get into your shoes to the degree that we start losing sleep at night and you at that point are able to sleep at night. And that provides meaning for us and for our clients.
Just let me stop you there for a second. You said something I think is very powerful. I want you to reflect on it a little bit. We might not sympathize, but we empathize. Talk about the difference.
Well, empathy is putting yourself in their shoes and feeling what they're feeling and understanding from their perspective where they're at and what's going through their mind and heart and soul at the time. Sympathize is sometimes they've gotten in that position because they have made some mistakes. They or others within the company just haven't been able to pull things together in a way to create the success that they wanted, and it's very frustrating. But if you sympathize, sometimes that can prevent you from making the change that you need to make. And so we say it's okay to empathize, but be careful about sympathizing too much because you do not want to stop the progress of making the changes that are needed to affect the turnaround.
I think that's such a powerful distinction. Especially, and it's true in life when we're helping people that are in trouble, when we counsel people or just have friends, that when we're sympathizing with people, we're identifying with their pain, but when we're empathizing with them, we're helping them work through their pain. It's a completely different approach, and I just think it's very cool that you have the awareness to have that distinction. So give us an example of a company that you guys have worked with. You don't have to talk about the name of the company if you don't want to, but if you want to, you can. An example of a company that you've worked with that demonstrates what you're talking about.
We were pulled into a company a number of years ago that had lost millions of dollars. Their industry had been literally decimated. There were 25 manufacturers in that industry 5 years earlier, and there were three when we got involved. And it wasn't just the economy that was putting businesses out of business. It was products being brought in from overseas, primarily the Japanese, that brought products in underpriced and were dumping products into the United States at below market prices. So in order to survive, the manufacturers here in the States had to reduce their prices, and that reduced their margins, and that made it almost impossible to make any money. And they had enjoyed good profits and enjoyed those in the past, but could not anymore. We stepped into the company, and the company had lost $1.6 million the previous year on more than $20 million of sales. We ended up making $1.2 million in the first 12 months that we were there, and we never looked back, and we were there for 3 years, turning the company and eventually creating a transaction that brought a lot of wealth to the family that owned it. But part of that was looking at what motivated the people, and this company had a union, and the union had not had any pay increases for about 8 years. And they'd gone through three contracts, and in each contract they had made concessions to try to keep the company open. And yet, when we looked at the total cost, the actual labor for that company amounted to about 12.5%. The material that it took to manufacture the product took about 50%. They had one person in purchasing, and they had five people beating up on the union, trying to get the union to make concessions.
Wow.
So the attitudes were very, very negative towards the union and towards management on behalf of the union. We went to the union and said, listen, we're going to give you a raise. It's only going to be a 10-cent per hour raise, but it's the first raise you've had in 8 years. But here's what we need from you in order to get that raise. We told them what we needed, and they gave it to us. And we ended up setting up a bonus program where we took a percentage of the profits and distributed it amongst all the employees. And in that first year, we distributed more than $200,000 of bonuses to the employees because they made so much money.
$200,000 to 300 employees. That's quite a bit of money.
It is.
Yeah.
And they were very grateful for that. Sometimes you just do things a little bit unorthodox, but the morale was so poor and the attitudes were so poor, we needed to do something to turn that attitude around. And it took a few months, you know, of profits. But once we started making money, we had monthly all-employee meetings, and we started handing out these profitability bonuses.
Yes.
They caught on.
Wow.
They realized they could make some money. And the first amount of the bonus was around $20 per person, and after that it went up to 50, and went to 75, and there towards the end we were handing out hundreds of dollars each month per employee for bonuses. So it caught on fire, and they got excited, and it was set up for them to create more profits. The more profit they made, there was no cap on it,
no cap.
The more money they could make.
Which is great. We talked about this in other programs. It's such a cool thing for business people to think about, business owners to think about, including your employees as partners in the business. It's a great, great idea. So what are some of the core principles that a person thinking about starting a business really needs to understand to be successful?
Well, until recent years, there's been around 10,000 new businesses formed in America every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's 500,000 businesses per year. So that's a lot of entrepreneurial activity.
It is.
Unfortunately, half of them are out of business within 3 years.
Within 3 years.
Another 50% are out of business within another 2 years. Mm-hmm. So after 5 years, you've got 50% of them out of business.
Yeah.
And there's even more over the next number of years, mm-hmm. leaving a small percentage manage to stay in business more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of entrepreneurial activity, followed by a lot of disappointment, a lot of frustration, and a lot of what people might call failure. I don't call it failure because I think it gives people an opportunity to learn and to give it another try. And some of the most successful clients we've had are folks who tried and tried and tried again and then figured it out about the third or fourth or fifth or sixth time. So persistence does pay.
It does.
So that'd be one of the core values, I think, is just persistence. And sticking with something and continuing on until you can try to figure out the right way.
What else would you tell a new business owner?
Well, I think I mentioned it before, but one of our core values is long-term relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're talking to customers or you're talking to employees, any stakeholder within a business, if you're not looking at that person you're talking to as a potential long-term relationship, you need to ask yourself the question, why not?
Yeah, well,
long-term relationships provide the core, I think, of ongoing business. Whether it's a vendor that you're buying from or whether it's a customer you're selling to or employees or shareholders, you know, you're looking for long-term relationships, relationships that you can build trust. Without that trust in that long-term relationship, you have very little on which to base a business on.
Well, Dean, this has been a really great time with you, and I really do appreciate you helping us understand how Platinum Group works and your personal philosophy and meaningful capitalism. And I'm just dedicated to this idea that that there are lots and lots and lots of really great companies run by really great people, and that the world needs to know about them. So that's part of what we're trying to do here on God's Work in Progress, is to make that known. So thanks very much for being on the program and making yourself available.
Jeff, it's been my pleasure.
Let me introduce you to my friend Jim Harper. Allstate agent Jim Harper faithfully serves people in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin with all kinds of local insurance advice. Jim is someone you can count on to help you protect all that's good in your life. Jim Harper makes it easy to save on the quality protection you need. He'll even help you fill out the paperwork in order to switch your coverage. You're in good hands with Allstate agent Jim Harper. To learn more, click About Us, then the Foundation Radio Partner page on our website.
During the Christmas season, our hearts turn towards the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, God's free gift of salvation, of rescue, of redemption. And God is still giving. He gives us life. He gives us talents and skills and purpose and a plan. He is your provider and mine. Giving is our greatest opportunity to take what God has given us, what the work of our hands have produced, and give a portion to those who help us. Here at God's Work in Progress, we exist to help you do great work with great faith, to stand tall, to add value, to make a difference with your work every day. When you give back to us from what we have helped you to do, you ignite a kingdom power that the Bible says will make your success even greater. So right now, go to our website, click on the support button, and sow the seeds of future success with your year-end gift. Your gifts are tax-deductible. Give out of your generosity. Give this Christmas season.
You're listening to God's Work in Progress with Jeff Pelletier. Here's Jeff with a practical workplace tip.
You know, you're wealthy. Everyone is. You have stored power. It might be money or possessions or talent or skill or intellect or time or knowledge or intelligence, but you're wealthy. In your life, invest your wealth wisely. It is intended for the flourishing of the world, to make it a better place, to redeem it, to advance God's kingdom. So this week and every week, invest your wealth wisely. Let me pray for you. God wants you to be prosperous in all ways so you can be generous on all occasions. And I pray that you realize that God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
For contact information, please check out our website at godsworkinprogress.org. Every week, Jeff will be joined by leaders from the marketplace who will be bringing us topics on how we can excel at doing great work with great faith. Our hope is that you will become a regular listener to the program and share with us ideas, stories, and people you might know who are doing great work with great faith. To contact Jeff Pelletier, please go to our website at godsworkinprogress.org. We also want to give you the opportunity to become a financial supporter of this radio program. Our hope is that we can make a difference in the lives of people as they go to work every day, knowing they have purpose and meaning in what they do. Please consider becoming a monthly financial partner with us, and all gifts are tax deductible. We hope you'll join us again next week for God's Work in Progress.